Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sharing with us the results of our prayers to encourage us to keep praying. Lord, please grant us the gift of travail and self-denial for the good of our nation and the world. My dearest heart dwellers, I have some updates for you on how your prayers are working and also on how we could fail and be in nuclear war overnight. This is coming from several different human sources. I've been told that back in November, there was an attempt by a British submarine armed with a nuclear-tipped Russian missile that almost succeeded in blowing up the White House with Presidents Trump and Vice President Pence inside. It's amazing to me because I kept having visions of such a thing being attempted. The sub was destroyed by our military. If this had happened, Pelosi would have been president and Hillary Clinton vice president. Pelosi would have stepped down and Hillary would have become the new president of the United States and plunged us into nuclear war with Russia. Thank Almighty God it was stopped because you were praying. There is tremendous progress being made with the clay feet and their demise. But all I'm really permitted to say here is that no one has heard or seen from Obama or Hillary in quite a while. I have heard that he loves to sing, especially in an enclosed room with a window facing Mecca, but Hillary, not so much. Interestingly, I've also been told that the United States has had to order prison ships from Russia to handle the great roundup for 50,000 indicted persons. It would seem that the shutdown has given our president the opportunity to clean some things out in the senior executive branch of the government, Congress and Senate. I have also heard that Soros is no more. All I can say is that these various sources are highly regarded, but only the Lord has total truth, and he's not talking about that. But I feel like he allowed me to hear these things to encourage us, because I've been asking him for days, please, Lord, let us know how our prayers are affecting the world. Now, here is some potentially good news from the same source, and this is what could happen if we continue praying. It seems that different well-informed sources are saying that the Federal Reserve will be shut down, the gold standard will become our new currency. A jubilee will happen where all debts are forgiven. If you own a house and are paying on it, it will be yours without any further payments. If you have a car you're paying on, it will be yours. If you are in debt, all debts will be forgiven. Also, the IRS will be dismantled and we will no longer pay income tax. However, we will pay tax on purchased items and that will fund the government. All of this can happen because the clay feet have been stealing money from our government, more money than you can even imagine. All our income tax for decades, and that is going to end if Trump stays in office. Can you imagine how wonderful it would be to have all debts forgiven and evil and corrupt men and women cleaned out of the government? No more child trafficking, no more drugs, illegal drug traffic. I mean, that probably is never going to happen, but it could be lessened by maybe 70% or 80%. Dear ones, all of this good can be accomplished if only we will continue to pray for the president's safety and also humility. Being a new Christian, it is easy to get self-confident, even as a seasoned Christian. And the Lord is helping me recognize more of my sinful nature. But Donald needs a heart for the poor of our nation. The Lord has given us the poor so that we could prove our love for him through them. Yes, the poor are God's gift to us to cherish and nurture. They're our opportunity to show our great love for Jesus because Jesus lives in them. Blessed is he who cares for the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. The Lord will protect and preserve him. He will bless him in the land and will not surrender him to the will of his foes. That's Psalm 41. President Trump is so very much in need of this kind of continuing favor with God. Please, heart dwellers, pray for humility and tenderness towards those who cannot be shining examples of health, wealth, and success. I don't think he realizes that God's choice for him was prosperity, but God's choice for others may be poverty. This is an agreed-upon thing before you were sent into the world. In Jeremiah 1, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And I've been told by the Lord that the soul is given a choice about the circumstances of their birth, which begs the question, why would anyone choose to be poor? I believe that in those moments, understanding is imparted to the soul to understand all the hidden dangers of being rich. And because the soul is in heaven, it doesn't choose according to the values of the world, but the values of heaven. The Lord promises to deliver those who care for the poor. He promises to not surrender him to the will of his foes. Please pray that Donald will receive this correction from Christians around him. If his attitude does not change, I fear for him, because God is the one who is protecting him, and I don't want to see him like King Nebuchadnezzar or turned over to the will of his enemies. So, my dear ones, you can see the stakes are high. The Lord has given us a choice to live or to die. Let's persevere until the Lord releases us from prayer. And he did say clearly 2 weeks, and this Sunday will be the end of the first week. Next Sunday, the end of the second week. Timing is critical. Lord, have you anything to add? Claire, so much hinges on prayer. I know you are having struggles with abstinence, and I want you to set it aside right now. Your health is such that you cannot live under the stress of giving up some foods. When you can't, I honor it. But when you cannot, I do not condemn you, as the devils have been tormenting you to the point where you cannot draw close to me in prayer. I know your frame so much better than you do. I know the pain and pressure you live with, and although it is a great gift to me, when you intentionally deprive yourself, you are not Anna in the temple in Jerusalem 1 AD. You are Claire in a decaying society, serving me with all your strength, not knowing when it will all come to an end. I give you more strength for your work. But it is better for you that I do not give you the grace for extravagant feats of fasting and self-denial. I know you wish you were like that, but it can lead to a worsening case of pride than what you're already dealing with. Yep, I got a bad case of pride. And on that note, he continued, there is nothing more noxious to me than judgment of others and a harsh spirit. That will most certainly lead to a state of not being able to see me. So thank you, my darling, for seeing yourself and your sins so clearly. Now I ask you, may we begin again? Please, come to me, expecting to see and hear me clearly, little one. After he said that, I let out a deep sigh. Oh, thank you, Lord. The last 4 days have been so very hard, heart dwellers. I was going to do a second message about this, but he brought it up now, so I will share it with you, what I've been going through. I've gotten into pride and judgment, and the Lord has allowed me to fail in other areas. The first day I fasted, the Lord gave me the gift of travailing prayer, and I felt so good about it. The second day, I could not connect at all. And since then, I've had some very flat days where I just didn't sense the Lord or the burden to pray. I prayed anyway, but not with a passionate heart. Then the Lord gently allowed me to see my pride in judging others, impatience and pride, looking at the faults and mistakes of others as if I didn't have any. I knew something felt wrong when I got into a critical mood and I started complaining about this and that, and I could feel the leaven of pride lifting me up as if I were appointed the judge over them. It felt very ugly, and I began to repent, at least in my mind. But my heart was not grieved the way it should have been, and that troubled me greatly. I missed the Lord. He hadn't been very present to me for days, and I knew I was not in a good place. Then I began having monumental opposition to fasting and prayer, and I became so weak and disoriented that I had to eat, and not just regular food. I had to have something that tasted good. I just went downhill from there. So if any of you are suffering from the same things, please don't beat yourself up. Understand that failing at the ideal abstinence is also a suffering, a very humiliating suffering. But there is another perspective, dear ones. When the Lord hides himself, we suffer, and that is very legitimate and truly a cross in its own right. Jesus continued, "So the prayer and whatever abstinences you can offer me, I accept most thankfully. Dear ones, if you fail at your targeted fast or abstinence, repent. Ask for more grace. Pick yourself up again and keep going. And do check your heart to see if there is some unrecognized sin that is opening the door for a fall. Don't be too anxious. There's nothing the devils would like better than to see you give up prayer and fasting altogether because you failed. And then they would try to send you into a downward spiral of hiding and withdrawing from me. Don't let this happen. If you have failed, get back up, repent, ask for new strength, and realize you are no spiritual giant. Many a Christian has fallen from grace because they tried to be too big for their britches and didn't want to settle for a second best offering, even though I honor every single effort you make on my behalf. I cherish it. I love each of you so tenderly and savor the sweet fragrance of sacrifice made willingly from your hearts." Claire, did you have something to say?
Thank you, Lord.
I have to say, if we cannot offer the fast we want to, be mindful that the Lord allows inconveniences and snafus that cause extreme tension to work through. And this is an acceptable fast offering when offered in a spirit of meekness and submission to whatever he allows. For instance, I had a terrible mess to clean up on SoundCloud because of certain errors I made, and my most important songs had not even been posted yet. It gave me a vice grip headache for the entire day and into the night. And what's worse, it took up all the time I could have used on music that day. When I realized that that was allowed as a fast offering, I got calm and laid down with it. And the only tension left was sorting out songs and getting them in their right places. In the end, it was my fault because I had not prepared the list properly. Jesus continued, "My people, when you accept adverse circumstances that are out of your control in a spirit of meekness and submission to my will, you glorify me by your love and patience. Humility has many layers, and as you grow in my spirit, you will find that I exercise you in countless trials to bring out the very best in you. So don't grow weary when things seem impossibly complicated. Rather, step back, take a deep breath, and ask me, 'Lord, what are you doing here, and how can I cooperate with you?' The world will question your sanity in such moments, but eventually come to the conclusion that you are different because I live in you. They will know you are Christians by your love. Now, about the changes in your government, so little is being shown to you, and so much is going on. This is deliberate, because most could not handle the truth. But for you that follow behind me closely, and for those who have been given the task of informing you, there is much truth to be disclosed if you listen very carefully. Your president has done what no other president or world leader has ever done. not because he is brilliant, but because you are praying. There is much concern over his temperament because great rulers fall through pride easily. Traps are laid at the feet of those who are about to have a stunning victory. This is why you are praying. I am with Donald, and I love him dearly. I totally understand where he is coming from, but he does not understand where I am coming from. He does not understand why I put the poor on this earth. He does not understand that his privileged birth was a gift from me. He does not understand truly why people fail. The ideal training for him would be to accompany Sherry through the streets of New York City and sit and learn and live with the homeless and listen to their stories and to be able to see how they've been gutted from within, immobilized by depression, and have nothing left, not even an ounce of motivation. Now, with barely a thought in my mind, I could cause him to become immobilized by depression, and he would get a glimpse into what so many suffer in this world. But as it is now, he does not understand and has zero tolerance for losers. Then the Lord did something different. He began to speak to the president. I have no idea if he's going to get this or not, but this is what he had to say. Donald, do not force me to take my hand off of you. Study my life. Imitate my meekness. Make the Beatitudes your daily creed. Observe how I stood before rulers. You are accustomed to applaud and honor the great ones for their accomplishments. That is in direct contrast to me, who applauded the simplicity of life and littleness of the poor and sickly. They had time for me, and they had a heart for me, which the rich did not. I experienced their suffering and entered into their hearts, living there with them. I saw their upbringing and the constant wounding of spirit they suffered from circumstances totally out of their control. I lived with the lepers and dried their tears. I knew the desolation of the prostitute and her longing for love and respect. I made myself in the form of human weakness, so that I could experience firsthand the trials they suffered. I'm not making excuses for the lazy. I am opening hearts to you so you can understand. The poor you shall always have with you, and they do serve a very important function in your lives. Life is hard, and you have it within your means to remove some of the most pressing burdens of the poor. Donald, whatever you do to them, you have done to me. You are perilously close to losing all you've gained through presumption. All that you have and have accomplished has been permitted by me. Nothing you have, not your intellect, your drive, wisdom, or even your health, is yours. All is a gift from me that you have done very well with. But pride precedes a fall, and in your moment of greatest victory, you are the most vulnerable. Allow me to open your Bible randomly and read what I put before you, between the lines. It will apply to you in some way. Be alert and expecting me to speak to you personally. The life of Moses and his ending are very good material for you. My word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Psalm 119:105-12. Through this you will discover me, how I feel and think. You will learn compassion and meekness. You will take appropriate care of the poor and downtrodden. And I will in turn sustain and protect you. Blessed is he who cares for the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. The Lord will protect and preserve him. He will bless him in the land and will not surrender him to the will of his foes. That's Psalm 41. And finally, do not take credit for your victories. It belongs with me and me alone. There are millions around the world praying for you, Donald. That is why you have had supernatural victories. It is not your skill alone that has accomplished so much. You have been an outstanding manager of what I have endowed you with, accounting for 30% of your success. The other 70% belongs to the army of believers, some of them disabled and poor, inspired by me to pray for you. You and I are doing this together. I want you to acknowledge that in your heart, knowing that you would not have survived to be inaugurated without my supernatural protection. I am with you. Walk with me in humility, the humility of Moses, and do contemplate his end.